So hello, everybody. My name is Scott Hunter. I'm the other Scott. You've already seen the first Scott. And both Scott and I work at Microsoft in what's called the web platform team. We're responsible for a variety of things. We're responsible for all the .NET on the server, all the Visual Studio web tooling, NuGet. We also own a couple of services, Azure API Management, Azure Redis Cache. And we're in the building that actually is the App Service building, which is the product that's behind me. Has anybody here used App Service? Good. I don't want every hand to raise up, because I'm going to talk about stuff you might have already heard if you've seen that. This is a funny slide. This is a funny deck. The marketing team gave me this deck before I showed up here and on this European road trip. And I'm laughing. This is a slide I just have to show you guys, because as a programmer, I don't even know what this means, so I'll... Your business, empower, transform, engage your customers, apps, internet scale to any device, agility, and insights. I'm not even sure what insights is. I'm sure you guys have lots of insight. As a programmer, I hope you do not like this slide. Scott Hanselman told me, I was showing him this slide upstairs, and he's like, if you actually presented this stuff, I would not work for you. So anyways, let's jump back to the circle of patience. Scott Hanselman calls that the circle of patience. And I don't, if you guys, anybody installed Mac El Captain, they have the colorful, it used to be the ball, the bouncing ball, now it's the colorful ball. Anyways, you know, I say I work for the Azure team, and so some of the things that are kind of cool to me are we have this hyperscale. We call that you can scale Azure up as much as you want. We have agility, meaning you can turn things on and off, try things as much as you want, and the insight part of that is you can easily get insights using a variety of things, and I'll try to show a few of these today in your application. This is another marketing slide where they think it's kind of cool to show all the crap you can do in Azure, and there's so much that I wouldn't even know where to start. So we're going to focus on the green blob up there at the top and ignore all the other stuff here. Azure is actually kind of cool. I didn't even know this. I've toured a data center before, but we have over 100-plus data centers, which is multiples times what, two times AWS, six times Google. We just introduced recently these, what we call, I'm not supposed to say this, they were codenamed Godzilla, which is, you know, trademarked all the heck, so we can't use it. But Godzilla series of VMs that are 32-core, 500 gig of RAM, SSD, they're pretty amazing. But we have a lot of data centers. And if you look at just our compute regions, where you can actually run virtual machines, we have more than AWS and Google combined. So when you hear that AWS is the cloud leader, we have more data centers and more stuff than all these guys. I'm here to talk about Azure App Service. And Azure App Service is a PaaS system, and that means platform as a service. And what that really means is we manage things for you. So a lot of folks, when you think of the cloud, you think of, hey, I'm going to go and go up into Amazon, and I'm going to create a virtual machine. I'm going to go and install my stuff into it. All you've really done at that point is you've taken a machine that you had in the office, and you moved it to the cloud. But you still have to manage everything about it. You have to patch it. You have to change the OS when the new version of the OS comes out. And that's what a VM is versus platform as a service, where we do all that for you. If you're running an Azure App Service, when a new version of .NET shows up or comes out, it will just be in your website one day. You'll have to go select that you want it, but you don't have to worry about, hey, do I need to go install this? When Windows patches come out, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. It's done automatically. There's a team of support people. A lot of folks always ask, well, why would I pay, you know, why would anybody want to pay you guys more than paying AWS or anybody else for like VMs. VMs is just a race to the bottom. But platform as a service is where I think the future of things is, because in platform as a service, yeah, you like one of the things that I own the Redis cache in Azure. I actually put the source code for the Redis cache that I build in GitHub. You can go download the same source code I run in my Redis cache for Azure yourself. But if you run it, you're on the hook for it. You have to go watch it 24/7 and keep it going, while when we run it, we do it all for you. And that's the benefit of a platform as a service. And you lose a little bit of flexibility with platform as a service. When I show app service later today, you can't actually jump into the VM and change the VM. but we give you lots of access to do all the things you think you'd want to do, and I'll drill into that. This is just a, I'll go through this kind of quickly here. We used to call this thing Azure Websites, and we had a couple of sister products. We had something called Mobile Services, and we had BizTalk Services. These were three independent Azure services. And in March of this year, we decided to merge all these things into one thing called App Service. And the big deal there was take all those capabilities, put them into one service. So if you're building websites, if you're building APIs, if you're building mobile, if you're building logic, put all that into one product for one price, make it cheaper for everybody. And typically when somebody bundles stuff, I think of American cable companies like Comcast. When they bundle stuff, they make it more expensive. We actually lowered the price of this stuff as we bundled it, so I feel pretty good about that. As I said, we have a couple types of apps, web apps. This is a funny story. We used to just have web apps, and the reason we have these other types, we had a group come to us one day and said, hey, why don't you give some Azure to education for free? And we're like, we give web apps. Well, no, we want to write APIs for mobile. Well, you can run those in web apps. It's one container. So we actually now have three or four notations here. You can run web apps, use just actual web apps, mobile apps. I have some slides on this. This is basically, we're not going to build mobile apps for you, but it's basically the back end for mobile. We do a lot of work to help you with the back end. For APIs, we have some specific API capabilities that we built into Azure and built into Visual Studio and even some command line tooling to make it where if you build an API, you can easily consume it from Java, .NET, Node, JavaScript. We actually will write those for you, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And we have logic apps. This is kind of the future of BizTalk, and this is some simple ways to write some apps. Another thing that's going on today is most of us have access to, people in here probably have Google accounts. A lot of our customers have SAP or Oracle. They might have Salesforce. And so we want to make awesome integration with app service with all these things. And so we have a model where we have connectors that let you connect your applications to a variety of these services. And we handle all the authentication and all the token management and stuff like that for you. And so, as I said before, one super low price. And so this is the fastest way to get going inside of Azure. And a lot of folks don't know this. We have this cool site now called tryappservice.azure.com. And on this site, you don't even have to put a credit card, an email. Well, you did an email address. You don't have to put a credit card. You don't have to put anything in. You actually go here, and you basically get a free website for about 8 hours to just go try and kick the tires and do whatever you want. At the same time, any of the app service stuff that I showed today, you get 10 of these for free per region of Azure. So you actually get a variety of these that you can use. So let's talk about some of the hosting features that we have here. And I'll jump through here. We have a ton of features, and I'll go through these in a little bit here. So first off, you know, most of us use source control, and so we have awesome integration inside of Azure for source control. This is across a variety of things. We've got, first off, you can write .NET, Python, Node, Java, PHP, and in Java, you can even upload your own JVM. And so all this runs inside of Azure websites today. As I was saying before, we have awesome deployment across FTP, WebDeploy, VS Online, GitHub, Bitbucket, Dropbox, and Debug. I'll show that Debug console. That's pretty cool. So whatever technology you use for deployment, we support. We support continuous integration. So obviously, as a developer, write some code, check it in. We'll build it in the cloud. We'll deploy it to a slot. You can have a staging and production slot. We can test it in the cloud. We can VIP swap you and move you from staging to production on the fly, and you're good to go. And you can actually monitor all this stuff inside of Azure. And so this is just kind of showing some more slides showing multiple developers pushing up and doing this. So let's take a look at some of this stuff. So I'll drop out of these slides for a second here. And I'll jump to, I've got a lot of these VSs running right now. This is one I was playing with a little bit earlier before, which is I've got a website. And publishing to Azure is super simple. All I got to do is right-click on my application, maybe, and it will come up here and offer me a publishing dialog box. And if I want to hook this up, all I've got to do is click Microsoft Azure Web Apps, and it'll go through a simple sign-in where I can either select one of my existing sites or do a new one. I've already got this app published and ready to go, but I want to show a couple of things. As you move to the cloud and play with the cloud in our world, you don't really lose anything. We want to make sure that as you develop locally, all the same features that you would have developing locally would work in the cloud. So if I go look at this site in the cloud, let's go look at the Azure portal. And I'll click my websites to show my web apps. I've got a couple things I can do here. This is a website running our Ibiza portal. I'll click demo app, the one I'm playing with right now. And what's cool is I can take any of these screens that you see, I can pin those to my desktop. So I have a lot of control over how this stuff works. But what I want to do here is I want to go look at my diagnostic capabilities. So I'm going to scroll down here. I'm going to click diagnostic logs. I've already turned these on. Oops. And you're going to see I've got a variety of features here. Number one, I can turn application logging on or off. I've got it turned on. I can set my level of information. Now, what's cool is once I've done that, I can write simple code inside my app, system diagnostics, trace information, and I can view that information even inside of Visual Studio. So let me take this application. I'll publish it. Make sure my settings are set to debug. They are. We'll publish it. And once this publishes, I've got a variety of capabilities I can do here. I can come over here. I've got this Cloud Explorer, which I'll pin over here. And my Cloud Explorer lets me see all of my apps inside of Azure and manage them a little bit inside of Visual Studio. I'll show you a cool trick that our guys don't want you to know about this. This looks like regular VS stuff, but if you come over here and like click Control Plus, oops, you might notice it does weird stuff. This window is actually a website. So we want to make this Cloud Explorer something where we can update it without having you to update Visual Studio. So it's actually web hosted, because if you're talking to the cloud, you're already talking to the web. My app's running, or trying to run. And once the app's up, I can go and take that diagnostic information and view it live inside of Visual Studio. Come on, app. There we go. So I can go and find my demo app here, and I can right-click, and I can say, View Streaming Logs. And absolutely nothing will happen. Let's clear this. And I should be connected, I think. That will actually download it. So as I'm in here, let's see if this actually is doing what it's supposed to do. It is not. While I'm doing that, let's check this out. So I can view in Visual Studio. I can also, in the portal, I can come over here to Tools. I can go to Diagnostics Logs right here. And so pretty much anything you can do locally, you can also do right in the cloud. So it's going to say it's connecting. I'm connected. As I hit the About page, I'm going. Visual Studio should be doing the same thing for me here. Ah, the access token expiry UTC time is earlier than the current UTC time. Great. So normally you can actually view these same logs inside of Visual Studio. But even more than that, I can also come over here and let's take this a level further. And I can put a breakpoint in here. And I can also right-click over here, and I can say Attach Debugger. And the same error that's causing the view not to work is going to do that as well. Let's just open and close the VS here. Yada. So it's one of the interesting things about when I travel is I get a chance to try our applications with slower networks. And I sent a whole bunch of screenshots to my team last night going, things do not work as well over here as they work in the United States. So let's load this back up again. Web app test. Because my time zone did not change as I moved from upstairs to downstairs. Let's try it one more time. I'll come to my demo app, which I hope is the same app. Let's try view streaming logs, see if it attaches. And try attach to Debugger as well. Ah, streaming logs attached. Debugger should attach as well. It might take a couple seconds here. The debugger's pretty cool because it's actually a remote debugger running in Azure, and we're making sure it's secure and that nobody else can actually get in there. So the browser's going to launch here. I think my session actually timed out on that previous connection, which is why it flipped out like that. But the point is, you can get diagnostic logs both in the cloud via the portal. You can get diagnostic logs live in Visual Studio. I can set breakpoints both locally and both in the cloud. We're trying to make this work completely contiguous. We're going to make it even better in the future. We have a new feature coming later this year where when things happen, you'll be able to actually, right now, as I click that page, the browser will hang while the breakpoint hits. You can see the breakpoint has just hit. The browser's hung. We have a feature coming in the future where it won't even stop your browser. It'll basically just record the next couple of things that happen. So let's go back to that Visual Studio. And we're good to go. So streaming logs, debugging, everything just works as you would expect. So let's look at another feature here. I'll go back to the deck. And we talk about staging. So in this case, I've got a website. Well, I might want to have my production website, and I might want to have a staging website where I can try stuff. And so we support both having as many staging slots as you want. And so you can see here now I've got my end users. They're actually hitting a production site. But my staging site is being driven by Visual Studio Online in the background. So as I check my code in, it goes to the staging site. Then I look at it, I test it, and then later on, I'm going to swap and move it into production, and the other one goes there. So if I look at my site again, I can just come over here, and let's play with this. I'm going to go to the portal. We'll close the streaming logs out. Before I close the streaming logs out, I'll show one more cool thing we have over here. We even have a console. So I can open this console here, and this will actually give me a console prompt into my website. So as soon as it loads, I can do DIRs. So even though I'm in the cloud, I have the ability to go look in. I can even view files inside of here, even change them. So even if I'm remote, I do have the ability to do quite a bit of things in the cloud. That's kind of the goal of what we're building here, is to give you as much control both in the browser and in Visual Studio. So let's go back to our site. I'll click on my settings. And I've got zero deployment slots. So what I can do is I can come here and I can say I want to add another one. We'll give it a name, and we'll call this guy staging. And I'll say don't clone configuration. We allow you to keep your configuration different between your production and your staging. You might want to have different connection strings and stuff like that. Visual Studio knows how to deal with the publishing metrics between there, so when you publish, you don't publish the wrong stuff to something else. This will take a second. It's telling me up here it's creating a deployment slot. While that's going on, I'm going to go back to Visual Studio. Well, let's wait for the slot to get here. Successfully created, so I've now got a staging slot. I can come drill into that. And what I'll do is I'll download a publishing profile. And this will download a file that contains all my Visual Studio settings that I need to actually wire this up. I'll go to Visual Studio, and let's go here. I'll click Publish. And while I'm in the publishing dialogue, what I'm going to do in this case, I'm going to go and import that connection. So I'll go to profile. I've already got my main app here. I'll do an import. I'll browse. Grab him. Press OK. And so now I've got the ability to publish both to my staging slot and my production slot. So let's save that. And let's make it very clear that these things are different things here. So let's go into Views. Let's go into Shared. We'll go into my layout file. And I will change this to say, let's go stick something in here somewhere that says that I'm on my staging screen. So I'll change the title, staging. I'll come down here into the main page. And, well, actually, let's just go change the home page. It's even better. Here we go. Getting started. Hosting. Staging. So here's my staging site. Now I'll right-click, publish. We'll publish to staging. And while we're waiting for that publish to happen, I'll flip back to the slides real quick and talk about even another feature we have. One thing you might want to do is have a production slot and a staging slot. That's the way you would always do development. But another thing is testing in production. At Microsoft, we call this A/B testing. That's where I want to try something out, but I don't want to try it with everybody. So I can take those same exact slots that I'm creating for production and staging. Remember, I can create as many of those as I want. I think I can create up to 10. I can also do that where I can say, I want to have a staging slot, I might want to have two production slots. And what I want to do is I want to drive part of my traffic to my test slot, which is my A/B test slot, and most of my traffic to my main site, which is my production site. And I can do an A/B test there. Then if things go well, oops, in this case things don't go well, and what I do is I then move all of my stuff back to the main slot. So now I've got two slots, and when this loads up, you should see that it's actually got the changes I made into it. So we have ASP.NET on staging. I can go back to the portal, look at my site, and while I'm here, this is my main site. Bring the essentials down here. I'll launch this. So this is my production slot. It doesn't say staging. This is my staging slot. I've got both. I can go back in the portal and say VIP swap, and it'll move those back and forth between each other automatically. So that's kind of cool. If we go back and look at the portal again, I can also in the portal, as part of this, as I was saying, this is the production breakpoints or the production A/B testing. I can come down here, and it's under the term routing. I can click, not on push. Dynamic loading in the background pages. Go away. We can jump down to routing. This is where I can decide how I want to route my traffic. And notice it's all 100% of my traffic is going to my staging slot. I can come up here and start clicking percentages and say I want 10% to go to some other slot. I'm not going to run that demo, but the idea here is you can actually do this live A/B test, which is a pretty cool feature. The next thing is we have something called web jobs. So if you're using Azure today or playing with Azure, you might be running background apps like services or console apps. And today what you would do is you would create a cloud service. If anybody in the room's done a cloud service, that's a 15-minute deploy. That's kind of complicated and kind of a pain. We have the ability to run console apps as part of your website as well. This gives you the ability to run worker workloads. And so the slide here is showing I can create what we call a web job, and even more than doing a web job, we have an SDK that actually can make your web job trigger when things happen. Like when something's put into a queue, we can have something trigger in your application and fire your web job off. Now, web job is actually simple to add. If I go back to that my test app here, I can just right-click on my solution, and I can say, let's add a console application. at a new project. We'll select Windows, do a console, and I'll say my web job. And I'll write a simple console application here. Let's do a while true. And we'll do console write line. Maybe datetime.now.to. Too long time string or something, who knows. And just so I don't kill the system, we'll do a sleep of 1,000 so it doesn't go crazy. And so now I've got this console application in my project. I can right-click on my web app, and I can just say add, and it'll have existing project as a web job. Dialog comes up. I select my project. I can decide whether I want to run it on a schedule, at which point this will come up. We have a scheduler in Azure. I can run it on a schedule. I can decide to run it on demand. Running on demand would be like when something hits a queue, it wakes up and does something. Or I can just say run it all the time. We'll say run it all the time. And so it's going to install some stuff into my project here. Once I'm done, if I republish this to the cloud, now I've got a console app associated with my web app as well. And you can do multiples of these. I could have 10 console apps associated with my web app. So the idea is, you know, there's a bunch of things you should not be doing in websites. You should not be sending emails and stuff like that, because if your website gets recycled or something, that would stop. So if I publish my app again, I'll do this. This time it's going to publish that, including my web job. And what's cool is, even though that web job's running, you might ask, how can I look and see what that thing is doing? I have all the same things I could do locally in the portal. And so we'll wait for this to publish and go. And once it does, I'll show you how you can go to the portal and watch what's going on there. So let's drill out of this. Yeah, I know. And in this list of things I can do, you'll also notice that I'm going to have down here web jobs. So we'll check and see what that publish is looking like. It's going. Once that publish is completed, I'll be able to click down on web jobs and see the web job that I just added. So let's go here. Should show up in this list shortly. Yeah. Wait for the app to start. Once the app starts, that web job will show up, and I'll be able to drill in right from the portal. Oh, I added the web job to staging. It's a bit my bad. So let's, not a problem though. We can just drill in. That web job will exist in my staging slot. So I can go over here, find my deployment slots. Click on staging. Now I'm in my deployment slot. I can do settings. Go down to web jobs. Which might have moved on me. Yes. It'll show up in here. I'll be able to click it, drill in into it, and should be able to even watch it live in the cloud. Come on, internet, don't fail me. There it is. Let's take a look at it. And so we give you inside of App Service the ability to host websites, host console apps, watch them fully. It's a pretty complete experience. Circle of patience. Okay. And you can see, here's my console app running. You can see it running every 1 second, spitting out the time. It's running live in the cloud. So it's not just about web. You can run whatever you want to run in app service. So let's jump back out, look at the slides one more time. That's web jobs. Autoscale. We have the ability in Azure to automatically scale your site up and down very simply. You can drag a slider. You can choose based on CPU, however you want. And so in this case, the amount of traffic increased. I got more users. I spin up a whole bunch of websites. So what does that look like in the portal? It's actually pretty simple. I'll just come over here. You can jump all the way out. I'll drop down here into scale. I've got autoscale turned off, and I'm currently only running one instance, but it's pretty simple. I just come down here. I've got a slider. Drags back and forth. If I press save, it's going to take 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3 1,000, 4 1,000. 4 seconds later, I have 8 sites. I've now scaled up that fast. If I wanted to, I could say, hey, I want to do this on CPU percentage, or I could even do it on a schedule. I could say, hey, I know my traffic to my site is really busy from 8 to 5. I want four web apps running in that time frame, and during the rest of the day, scale it down to 1. Or save some money during night, scale it down during the night. In this case, you can see I can set my number of instances that I want, and I can set my target CPU range. So if it's, hey, if I'm over 50% CPU, scale up between these ranges. So simple, simple stuff. Save out of that, jump back in here. And that's showing the scaling. We have the ability to back up and restore your website, including a database. So if you have a website with a SQL database, we can back up both the website and the SQL database to a blob in the cloud at any point. You can do it manually or on a schedule and restore it. So if somehow your data gets corrupted or whatnot, you don't have to worry about this. This, once again, is part of the platform as a service. We do all this for you. Active Directory in the cloud. This is something really cool. It's not a Microsoft. A lot of our teams, including the ASP.NET team that I'm a part of, we build applications, and we used to host them internally on some stuff. Now I can actually put them in the cloud. I've actually got a browser. Let me close that browser out. I've got a copy of IE running right now that's actually logged into an internal Microsoft subscription. Here it is. Yes. This is an internal Microsoft subscription. Using the Active Directory feature, I can make my website, any website that I create, only available to people inside of my Active Directory, or even control it into groups inside of my Active Directory. And it's super trivial to do. This is a site I have running in my personal subscription, not my personal, but my work subscription, which is managed by Microsoft. And I can, once again, go to settings, and there's an Active Directory setting there. And in this case, my subscription is associated with the Active Directory at Microsoft Corp. And all I've got to do is wait for the screen to load. Go to settings. Let's drop down to authentication, authorization. And I can say click on here. It said my Azure subscription is actually associated with the Microsoft Active Directory. Notice it shows up, Microsoft Active Directory. If I press save here, this website's now only accessible, even though it's running in public cloud, is only accessible to people inside of my Active Directory. I'll close out of that. This also shows that part of the way this works is we have a synchronization model where you basically make a trust between the Azure Active Directory and the Active Directory running in your enterprise, and there's a sync that's going on there to make sure the user information is always the same. When an actual login occurs, no information from your Azure Active Directory on-premise, no password information is ever stored in Azure. It always makes a call back through the system to let you log in. But we use this at Microsoft to let us publish our internal websites to the Azure public cloud, and I can access them both inside the Microsoft enterprise, or if I'm at home, I can log with my work credentials and that works. That's what that's showing. Another feature we have is role-based access, and I didn't really drill into that, but if I'm back in the portal here, I have the ability to control who can touch stuff. So let me close back out and get back to my main website here. You'll notice I've got this notion of users and roles. I can take anything that I create in part of App Service, and I can say who in my subscription, my Azure subscription, has access to this. This will give me a list of my users and my Active Directory that's associated with my account. I can give people read permissions where they can read stuff. I can give them edit permissions where they can change stuff. And this allows you to have a situation where your IT can do some things, developers can do some things, and that's completely controlled. Here's my Carl Hunter, as Scott said. That's in here. I'm an owner. I inherit all access. But we have full access control. One more cool feature of this, before we jump out of web apps, is multi-region. And so I've got this multi-region app that I built here. And if I look at it, all this is I've got a couple of websites. And so, for example, I might want to put a website in Asia. I might want to put one in Europe, because we're here. And you can see I've got websites. Scroll down here. I've got websites in Asia, West, and Europe. And if I click one of these, let's click Europe. This is a simple web app that I wrote, and I actually got running over here, multi-region. All I did is I printed system.environment get variables. Mouse, don't fail me. Region name. Region is an environment variable that runs inside of the app, depending on the regions it's in. So if I come over here and I open this up, you can see it says running in West Europe. Now, we have this. This is going to look a little ghetto. To set this feature up, I have to go to the old portal. We currently have two portals. But we have this feature called Traffic Manager. And I can come over here and I can say, what I want to do is I want to select all of the endpoints. I hosted that same web app in West Europe, in US, and in Asia. And I can come over here and I can click, I want my traffic manager to do multi-region. So what I've said here is I want my Asia, my Europe, and my Azure West to all be managed by the traffic manager. And what this will let me do, it'll grind here for a second. What this will do is give me a new endpoint for my website, a new URL. And if anybody goes to that URL, it will actually look at what region you're in and direct your traffic to the nearest site. So it's checking my endpoints here. And this allows you to host a website in Azure and then have your customers go to the local, fastest, closest version of the site. While I'm waiting for that to happen, I'm going to click on Configure. And over at Configure, I can decide, do I want to do this for performance reasons? Do I want to do it for round robin? Or do I want to do it for failover? It's like for the NuGet.org site. If you go to NuGet, we actually run that in failover mode, meaning that we have a variety of these. And if one goes down, traffic automatically moves to the next one that's up. Let's go back over here. See if my endpoints are configured. They look like they're online now. Go to my dashboard. That should give me the URI for this. And so if I take this, open it up in a private window here, let's try this. I got West Europe. Now, to prove this is real, I put something in my subscription last night. I have a virtual machine running in the US. So let's jump out. Get all my resources here. Well, actually, I think I have it on my homepage. So let's go to CSH West Coast. I'll just RDP into this guy. I've got him set up right here. Bring up the browser. This is a VM running in the United States. West U.S. So this is showing that the app, if you hit it from here, you get Europe. If you hit it from the U.S., you're going to get that. So let me jump back to the deck here, and we'll run through some other features that we have in the cloud here. We have another cool feature called hybrid integration. I'm not going to demo it. Hybrid integration is pretty cool. You might have something where you got some stuff running in Azure, but you don't trust, or your IT department doesn't want you to put your data in the cloud. We have an awesome feature called hybrid integration, which allows you to create an endpoint on your local network, which we can call from Azure. You basically run an agent on your local machine, and that lets you access a SQL server, an Oracle server, any API that you write from your Azure website. Showing that hybrid connection. And that was all web apps. I went through a lot of the web app stuff. We have a mobile backend feature. And this is for people that are building mobile apps. And when we first built this, the idea was there's a lot of folks building iOS and Android and Windows Store apps that are client developers. They're not server developers. And can we build you a bunch of features to make it easier to build those types of applications and have a backend? And so this thing does a variety of things. We do all the user authentication for you. So if you want your users to log in with Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, Google, or Active Directory, we handle that for you. We give you an SDK for all those platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows, that you can run that will have all the login boxes. We have a push notification feature. The cool thing about the push notification feature is it's cross-platform, meaning that you can call our API and push a notification, and whether somebody's on Android, iOS, or whatnot, it will use the correct APIs for them to make that happen. We also have some cool connections where we know that if you're building one of these apps, you might want to be able to talk to Salesforce or SQL or Mongo or whatever and not have to worry about those programming interfaces. That's all built in for you. We have an offline sync feature. We know that if you're building a mobile app, our SDKs give you all the capabilities to have the app when it's disconnected from the network. Maybe you're out in the field and you're taking pictures of meters. And you're not connected in the internet because you're somewhere off in a field or in the country somewhere. We have the ability for you to actually store stuff locally on the device. When the internet comes back up, everything will synchronize. And so this shows you, this is a new capability that came out of March. We moved our previous mobile app feature into app service, meaning it gets all the features that I just showed you guys in websites. It gets web jobs. It gets the CI integration. It gets the auto load balance, auto scale that I showed you guys. It gets the hybrid connections. It gets the slots. It gets all those things for free as moving into app service. And this is talking about offline sync. This is the using things while you're disconnected. Yeah. This is cross-platform notifications. We have a great notification SDK, lets you push to everybody very cheaply across all these sites. I'll just close through this real quick. API apps. So API apps is another thing that we did. This is something that my team did inside of Azure, and this was all around hosting apps, APIs in Azure. And what you might ask, what can we do better for you if you host an API in Azure? The biggest thing that I think we do for you is anything that uses Swagger, and all the ASP.NET web API projects moving forward will have Swagger built into them. Anything using Swagger, you get to use a capability that we wrote for the Azure SDK. So my team also builds the Azure SDK, and one of the things you might notice, our SDK supports Node, PHP, Python, Ruby, JavaScript, .NET, a variety of languages. You might ask, how do we do that? We don't go write each of those things in all those languages. What we actually do is we have a tool called AutoREST inside of our team, and you run AutoREST against a Swagger endpoint, and we generate clients for you. And so one of the cool things about hosting your API in Azure is, or just using my Visual Studio tooling, is I can let you build a .NET API and then give your customers SDKs and all those languages built in. Another thing that we do, so this is showing the SDK generation. Another thing that we do is we give your app cores by default. So if you're building an API app, even the web API has a feature to enable cores in it, you can add a NuGet package to it. Any API hosted in Azure, there's a checkbox you can check. You get automatic core support without writing any code at all. So it's pretty cool. The final thing that we do is we do authentication. The same authentication I showed you for mobile, we will do for your APIs without you writing any code. So if you want to take an API and protect it with, you know, Google, Microsoft, whatever, you get all that for free. This is showing the authentication, the cores, the metadata. And then, of course, your API using the hybrid connection capability can actually talk to something on-premise. And so those are API apps. Logic apps. Logic apps are something that is kind of the future of BizTalk. And logic apps are actually a visual designer that lets you do things. A great example of a logic app for me is, let's say I've got a legacy website that writes entries to a SQL database. And I want to take, every time that a write happens to that SQL database, I want to take that information and put it into my Salesforce, because I've got my new customer folks using Salesforce. That's a three-slide logic app. What you're going to see here is we've got a ton of connectors here that let you connect to all these different things: Salesforce connector, Dropbox connector, SQL Server connector. And what you can do is you basically task, you put little boxes of things together. You can say, hey, go run the SQL connector and see if this table returns any data. If it does, take the result of that and call the Salesforce connector and send that data to the Salesforce connector. And when you're done with that, then use Twilio, take that same information and send me a text message saying that we just added a new user who came into our site. Jump through some of this real quick. This is showing an example of a connector here. I'm searching for tweets on Microsoft Azure, and then in Dropbox, I go take the results of that search and I upload them into a Dropbox file. And so with two simple slides, I've able to make that actually work. These are all the connectors that we support. You can see this, we've got Box, Delay, Dropbox, Azure, Salesforce, a ton of these things. We also let you do protocols, so if you just want to actually call a protocol like SMTP or HTTP and take the results of that data, you can easily use this stuff to stitch stuff together. You can even write long-running tasks. A logic app can be something that says, I'm going to go do something, wait 30 days. A great example of another great example of a logic app is, hey, you know, you dropped your car off at the dealership to get something fixed on it. You go and pick it up. The invoicing system wants to send you an email saying that your car is ready. Then the invoice system has, as part of its flow, it says its next flow is wait 30 days and send you another email saying, are you happy with the service you got? That's actually a hard application to write. If you're going to write that today using C#, you're going to go store the time that something happened. You're going to have some C# thing checking to see if 30 days have elapsed. In a logic app, you can basically stitch together that workflow and not actually have to pull something all the time to make that happen. BizTalk integration features, so this can talk to API apps, and all the BizTalk connectors that we have today as part of BizTalk are also available via this platform. Okay, so if I have a few minutes left, let me show you one more thing here. He said we're going to start lunch at 1:10. So we got about 10 minutes left here. So what I'll do is let me close out a few of these guys. Let's create a new API app. So I'll come into web, click ASP.NET Web Application, my Europe API, make sure I can actually see it. Now create a API app. And an API app is just a web API, by the way. An API app in Azure is any API that returns JSON. So it doesn't have to be an ASP.NET app. In my case, it is an ASP.NET app. ASP.NET apps automatically, as part of this, get access to, we put Swashbuckle in, which is a Swagger provider, and I'll show that real quick. So I'm going to create a model here. Need some data. So I'll create a class. And I'll call this, I think, person. And I'll give a person an ID. I'll give a person a first name. And a last name. And then I'm going to write a controller here. I'll rename this to be the person controller. Yeah. And I want to make sure that it uses my model. And I have some code that I just grabbed here, so I don't have to type all this stuff. Now I'll stick this in here. And all I'm going to do is stick in a controller that, if you look at this code, I've got a static list of people, all the Scotts in Microsoft, Scott Hunter, Scott Hanselman, Scott Guthrie. It's got a get method that returns that. It's got a post that adds a person there. Let's build this. And we should be good to go. So let's publish this up to the cloud. This will actually do two things here. I'm going to use this Microsoft Azure API Apps Preview. First thing it's going to do is, let's see if I can do this. Create a new one, put it in my subscription. Let's use one of my existing plans, put it in West Europe, available to anyone, press OK. That's going to kick off a feature, the creation of those resources in Azure. Once that's done, I can actually publish my API. And when I publish the API, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how easy it is to consume an API using that new feature I was saying about where we can actually build a client for you. So while I'm waiting for that to happen, what I'll do is I'll create a new console app. It's going to be my app that's going to call this. Create a new console here. This is my test client. And we'll wait for that to create. What that's going to do is, right now this is creating an API app in Azure, getting it all set for me to call. Once this is done, as I said, I'll be able to publish up to it, and then I've got a feature in Visual Studio, which I'll kick off then. Notice over here I've got Add and Azure API App Client. I'll actually kick this off before the publish is done. What this will actually do is let me go find an API app running in the cloud, or if I'm just building something locally, I said you don't have to use Azure, I can actually say select an existing Swagger metadata file. I can take any app, my app's got Swashbuckle in it, I could actually go to WAC V1 WAC docs, and that will actually return me the Swagger metadata. I could save that to a file, import that here, and we can build a client for you. As I said before, this is using the same technology that we use inside of Azure today to build stuff across a variety of things. I'll give this one more minute, and if it doesn't go, then I'll let you guys go. Let's go take a look and see if it's showing up in my account. Let's see if my cool API is showing up somewhere in here. Ah, I see my Europe API. Here's part of it. The API app is coming. Ah, looks like it's finished. Let's publish it. And I build a client in 1 minute here, and then you guys can go grab lunch. But I said they wanted me to hold you guys till 1:10 because they don't want to have a crowd in there. Publish this. while that publish is happening. I'll come make this the default client. It's not gonna let me do that until the publish is done. So we're publishing the app to Azure. I'll have my API running in the cloud. There we go. Now come to my test client. Yeah, I don't want to run my API. Oh, maybe I do. I'll set it as the startup project. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to say add API app client.
This is some of my feedback to my team is when you see this list is going to be
potentially scary. I have a lot of subscriptions because I work in the team. So we can see if we can find, there's my Europe API. I'll click OK. So this is going to go back out to the cloud, grab the Swagger metadata from that API, and once it does, it will go stick some stuff in my application, a NuGet package for the supporting stuff, and then calling the API is super simple. The same stuff that's running here, you can also run from command line. We have a thing called AutoREST, which you can find in GitHub. And so the same thing I'm doing using to generate this client, I'm generating a .NET client. I could also generate a JavaScript, Python, Node, et cetera, et cetera. So it's restoring my NuGet package. And once that is done, I should be able to call this API in just a few lines of code and show you how easy it is. This was, comically enough, the one big thing in ASP.NET Web API that people missed the most from WebCF was the fact that we didn't have the ability to generate clients. So I think this thing is, there's my models. And I've got my Europe API, so let's try that. Var API equals new my Europe API. API, let's do this for each var person and API dot person dot get. Should get full intelligence here. Console write line person dot first name plus space plus person.lastname. Let's try running it. So I've got a REST API running in the cloud. I generated a client. I write a simple console application. And it may run. There you go. So it worked. All the Scots. So anyways, I know this has been like a breakneck pace of going through a ton of features that Azure App Service has. I really ask you guys to go try it out. If you've not tried Azure, you get 10 of these per region. So you get 10 of these in West Europe, 10 of these in North Europe, 10 of these in US, all for free. If you go to try Azure App Service, you don't have to put even a credit card in. So please try this stuff. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much, and Hanselman and I'll be out tomorrow talking about ASP.NET 5.